Welcome to this episode of Surf Sessions, the series where we go behind the scenes with top founders, CEOs, board members, and investors to gain some insight into how they're leveraging their boards for success, and how they're getting value out of that process. So today we're here with Trevor Gary, co-founder and CEO of Micruity. Trevor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Yeah, definitely. So before we dig into this interview, do you want to take a minute to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your company and the stage you're at?
Absolutely. So, Trevor Gary, I hail originally from Canada, but now I kind of split time between Toronto and California. And Micruity has been on the mission to enable access to secure retirement income for everybody. And really, the way we believe to do that is to build that retirement income into the 401k plan and make it look more like a pension. So at the end of the day, what we're doing is pensionizing the 401k plan. And yeah, we've been doing that for about 5 years now. And we raised our seed round at the start of 2022. So to date, we've raised about $7 million. Looking to raise our seed Series A mid next year, and we're a team of 21 folks, two-thirds north of the border in Canada, and one-third here in the United States.
Yeah, and I mean it's great that you're growing so rapidly, and with that, I imagine, your board has also grown. I'm curious to know kind of what the current size and makeup of your board is.
So, a board meeting at Micruity is usually made up of 8 people. Three of them are board members, 5 board observers. I believe that the Q3 board meeting will be the seventh we've had as a group of 8, if I'm not wrong. And the board, the 3 board members are made up of myself, an individual from the VC firm that led our seed round, and then an independent individual who has experience building and selling many fintech companies.
Yeah, so I mean, it sounds like this is, you're not totally new to working with a board. You're 7, 8 meetings in. Sounds like maybe you've worked through some of those early kinks of just figuring out how to even do that in the first place. Kind of, yeah. It's we say this all the time, like it is a constant iterative process of just complete trial and error. And like one thing that we thought was going to work maybe didn't, and we've got to take a step back. So I think that's par for the course.
Yeah, it seems that no matter what you do, there's always something that could be improved or changed when it comes to the board meeting. And at least we're getting to like a consistent number of changes, whereas the first few board meetings were like just full overhauls for the next board meeting, full overhaul, full overhaul. Now it's a few less things.
Yeah. I'm curious, even with your team being split, not even just in different places, but different countries. I'm curious, are your board meetings, have they been remote mostly?
Yeah. We tried one hybrid meeting.
Okay.
Awful. Like it just wasn't great. There was 3 of us in a room, and then everyone else called in. And I feel like that was the worst. Although I haven't done the full in person, the run in person, but I just feel like hybrid's not the way to go. So we usually, everyone hops on Zoom. It's usually the same time around 2 p.m. Eastern time on a Monday towards the start of the next quarter, following the quarter end.
Yeah, I mean, I think the dynamics are so different being in person and being remote. You kind of have to tailor your meetings one way or the other, and to split the difference, I imagine, is pretty difficult. Though, I mean, some people do it successfully. But yeah, like definitely a different dynamic. I'm curious if you could just talk a little bit about kind of, I don't know, maybe your philosophy about like how you see working with your board. And just kind of how you approach that at the highest level.
So for us, the board is very big part of our team. One of the board members who, you know, the lead investor for the VC, Joel, I've known Joel since about 2019. He's been pretty close to my crudity, you know, a lot of check-ins, catching up at InsurTech events. And, you know, I just reach out to him sometime with questions, and it's just been super helpful. So that cadence of talking, you know, maybe once every couple of months just turned into, you know, usually once a week or once every week, just a check-in, take the pulse of where we're at. He's taking the pulse of where we're at. Sometimes I got some questions, sometimes I don't, sometimes just like a quick hey. And then our other board member, Rob, I haven't spent much time with, but Rob is really a hands-on board member who has a ton of experience directly in the space that we're in. So it's just super helpful from more like an operating perspective. So we, you know, we get pretty deep into the weeds sometimes, but once again, I mean, if I went, you know, 3 or 4 weeks without talking to Rob, that would feel weird. So it's a pretty tight knit crew, the three of us.
Yeah. And I definitely want to dig into that because, you know, I think especially people who are new to having a board, a lot of people just kind of see it as like this 4 times a year check-in. We're kind of going to do the mandatory bits, but a lot of people don't communicate consistently in between those meetings for a variety of reasons. But you in particular, you know, it seems like you're really staying in touch with your board members like on an almost ongoing basis. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I actually like I've given that some thought, and I'm not sure this is the reason why, but I think there's something special, or not special, just different about when you're a B2B SaaS company it doing big enterprise deals, like, you know, CACs of, you know, $10 million and whatnot. Like the annual, the client value over lifetime, LTV. When you're dealing at that size, these are big sales cycles. And so even following a seed round, you can't even just like push out metrics and see the progress in a business. And it's not as easy to see when those metrics are behind or ahead and kind of tease out like, oh, I think this is probably what's going on. You really got to, as a board member, know what's going on like in the company. What are those soft qualitative elements that indicate progress and how well you're doing? And so I think that's a big part of why I spend so much time with my board is, you know, I really want to get their input on those qualitative things, which is just the only way it can happen is having a discussion, like, and hearing it, you know, word of mouth. And they ask questions, they tease out things that, oh, you know, we forgot to ask a client that, let's go back, make sure we do that, or tease out, oh yeah, that is an inefficiency in our sales cycle, okay, let's go back to the team and work on that. So I think that is a big part of it. And then, you know, just, you know, different founders have different natures, and I'm just naturally a pretty candid person who, you know, want folks to know like what's going on. If they're going to be willing to help, I'll be like, all right, let's get that help.
Yeah. And I think it's easy to just say like that, you know, that's kind of your second nature, but, you know, I think it actually does take a lot of effort and a lot of intentionality and a lot of willingness to set yourself up for that feedback. And I think for a lot of founders, you know, there's so much pressure to have all the answers and seem like you know what you're doing. And I think especially for, you know, first-time founders or new founders, there's a lot of wariness around admitting that you need help in the first place, let alone asking for specific help. So I think it's a huge strength that you have, you know, adopted this practice. It's like, yeah, it's going to be better for me if I ask for help And I can't get good help unless I'm being really transparent and really communicative about what is going on day to day.
Yeah, and I feel like I'd find it really difficult to turn on a different switch with my board members than I have with our team leadership. It's really just natural for me to just, treat the board like, it's like the leaders. Like we're just sitting in a room trying to figure out how to make this machine run as efficiently as possible, knowing that there's, screws loose and broken points over there. So yeah, it just kind of naturally happens, and I think it's for the best.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's great that you have that mindset because, I think a lot of people, like I said, just feel very like uncomfortable with that dynamic. But that really like formal, stilted version of working with your board, where it's like, oh, I report to you 4 times a year, and then we don't talk. Like, it's not really valuable for anybody to do it that way. Like, what are you actually getting out of it in that case?
I find it so funny because you go into these board meetings and, as still, I consider myself very junior, still, really learning the pace and the cadence, and how to get everybody involved. They end up still feeling that way. And it's so weird because if I meet with any of those individuals one-on-one, it's like this natural conversation, and that happens all the time. And then we all get in the room, and then it's all of a sudden like, reading, from a teleprompter almost, but gotten better at that now. Start to have slides that are like, hey, we won't be discussing this, help with that flow and help us get to the biggest part of that board meeting, which is the one or two items to have like that discussion about and say, hey, here's where we really need help. Here's a big burning item that we gotta get some support on, get some input. To help us kind of work through. But they're still kind of feel like, we're all sitting around in penguin suits.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about the context instantly just makes you feel like, oh, we have to do this a very specific way.
Yes. Call
Yeah.
this meeting to
Yes, exactly.
order.
Which is so, like, it's such an unnatural way to talk to anybody. Yeah, but it makes you wonder why that's the status quo when I have to imagine most people find that pretty uncomfortable and awkward.
I wouldn't even like
Yeah.
want to start to try and opine on why it got that way.
I know.
But I imagine if, we took a look back to Silicon Valley, 20, 25, 30 years ago, I bet it wasn't that way. I think something happened in that time period, and whatever it was, made founders of 21 people teams start to think that they're, running a $100 billion market cap company,
Yeah.
publicly traded.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to use the same playbook as everybody
Yeah.
else.
Same playbook
Yeah.
as them. Like,
Yeah. Well, I would imagine at least, you mentioned that you try to spend the majority of your time in board meetings like on those discussions and not just like literally reading, a script of here's all the updates from the last quarter. I imagine that's easier to make happen when your board members are so up to date. Like, you don't have to do as much catch up during those meetings because, within the span of a week or two, sounds like people are pretty much up to speed on what's been going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to that, like, candidness, that transparentness. So I talked about like our board members, like the group of three, and how we interact so often. But the board observers, the entire investor base, advisors, and our leadership team, I actually put out a weekly blog to every single week. Send that out to them. It's written on surfboard. And the weekly recap, some weeks is just like a couple paragraphs of me kind of just like emptying out, just like, hey, I just got back from so and so, like, here's what I'm really feeling good about. here's kind of what's got me down. You know, Chris, my business partner, he did this really cool thing the other day, and it might have nothing to do with the business. Just like, yeah, he went to Greece with, took his mom to Greece or something. And just like a chat. And then a lot often it has like pipeline, just talking about key deals, how they're progressing. If there's a really big deal, have like its own heading, kind of get updated every few weeks, but always be there. So I was like, hey, I want to check in on that big deal. Talking about whenever we bring on someone on a team, you know, big marketing campaigns, conferences we're going to be at, asks we might have, that all goes into like that weekly blog. And then monthly, there's a financial update, projections, revenue, runway left, all that good stuff. And then quarterly is like a deep financial dive that accompanies like the financial statement, the quarterly financial statement. But anyway, so yes, everybody in that room is on surfboard, and very rarely does somebody ask a question in the board meeting, especially if it's a slide that says like, we're not going to talk about this, if it was covered in surfboard, right? It's kind of like my thing where I'm like, you know, if you're not checking surfboard, you know, we're all here to be efficient. Let's do our part and making sure this goes as smoothly as possible. So yeah, folks come to our board meetings with a really good idea what's gone on between the last boarding meeting and this one. Not only the three board members, but the board observers as well.
Which is great. Like, that is actually pretty rare. You know, we spend a lot of time talking to people about how they work with their board. We spend a lot of time researching what people are doing. And the vast majority of people are spending a huge chunk of their meeting time just like running through rote updates. Which we say all the time is like, don't spend your board meeting time that way. It is not a valuable use of anyone's time. Nobody wants to sit in a room and stare at a slide deck and just listen to updates for 2 hours. Like, it's not a fun experience, and you're not getting value out of it. So it's great that you've been able to like just set that standard of like, all of these important updates are being communicated to you. You have access to them. So we're going to spend this time doing things that need to be done and are more valuable to the company. And I just want to make sure I'm clear on like, so you're sending a weekly update, monthly update, and quarterly update, correct?
Yes. So
that's amazing.
Some weeks. So at the end of the month, I'll still send out my blog, and then the same day or the next day, I'll send out the monthly financial, or if it's the quarterly. But yeah, so there's always something going out. I can't remember the last time I actually missed it. You know, some days, like if it's a holiday, I might send it out on the Monday and be like, you know, I knew you weren't going to read it Sunday, so I'm going to send it out Monday, expecting you to read it. Yeah, it always goes out. And that's why I say sometimes it's just like a real quick check-in, you know, if it's kind of like an exhausting week, long day. But I always like, then I'll make it up the next one. But it's just like always something going out. And I think that's, you know, a lot of like our investors, especially like our angels who, you know, been here since day one, you know, they're just like, they know me, Chris, so well now. They're like, yeah, sometimes it's just nice to kind of check, you know, get a sense of your headspace and be like, yeah, it's good to know that like, you know, Trevor's feeling good about this. Like I can tell by the way he's writing where he's at, where his mindset's at, and, you know, just gives them not even comfort with their investment. It's just like, they're cheerleaders. So they're like, oh man, it's just good to kind of hear that. So that's always, that's just as much a part of it as, you know, folks who are, you know, more, you know, really looking at that return and more focused on that aspect, you know, supporting them as well and making sure they're feeling comfortable. And if any of the questions are not getting addressed, they can pick up the phone, give me a call or shoot me a text or an email or whatever way they want to reach out and get that information they need.
Yeah, I mean, you have, obviously people are literally invested in your company, but by doing that, you're also invested in the company and in you in other ways, right? It's like, I do care about what's going on. I do care about what's going well, what isn't going well, what your mindset is, like all of those things. Like I, as an investor, like am literally and metaphorically invested in that. And so it's nice to get that feedback. Like, yeah. It's interesting too that you mention, kind of this idea of like knowing if you're doing well. And earlier you made a comment about like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be, transparent about things that we're struggling with. And that's another thing we talk about all the time. Like, there's definitely a bias towards sharing positive news and not sharing the not so positive news. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about kind of your approach to that. Like, are you really comfortable sharing the not so good news? Is there anything you do to like make that feel less daunting? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I wish I could answer, but there's just never been bad news at my crudity. So no, I'm just kidding. I had this conversation the other day with a founder who's also one of our angel investors invested in him. And so he's a bit earlier stage than us. And he was kind of talking about his monthly newsletter. He sends it out and, how to deal with those, when things aren't going so well or a negative outcome. For me, I guess it comes down to like two things is one, just there's almost no chance you didn't have some responsibility in what went wrong. For whatever reason, find that out, identify it, make sure everybody else knows that you've identified it. And I think that's good. Like, I think that's good. And then the other side of that is if you're gonna when you put that information out, have a plan. Like, have a plan. So just put quickly, hey, here's our plan. Brian and I are going to meet with, the leadership of so and so company to see if we can get this sorted out. Just something in there. It does nobody any good just telling them this, like, just this negative, this project that's not going so well. And the other side is I really like to quantify it. So it's scary sometimes, but I think it's rarely like deathly scary. It's like, hey, this is what this means. It means that we moved 75K out of Q4 2023 into Q1 2024 because of this delay. We still keeping it in the same place in the pipeline. It's still at a 40% likelihood of closing, and just like just put it out there. And it's sometimes it can just bring it all home. And when I was explaining this the other day to this other founder, it actually like made me realize that going through this process kind of took what used to feel like this to this, where it just didn't feel the highs didn't feel as high, which is like I think fine, but the lows didn't feel as low. And I started to also recognize like, there's like a cycle to growing a business, like and how it works, and just putting it on the page and putting it out and figuring out ways to talk about it and coming up with plans quick and smart plans quick. I don't know, just I think it's also done something good for us as a business. That was a bit of a rant, but yeah, you gotta put out that news is not good. You got to sugarcoat it a bit. But figure out why it happened, own it, and also put what are you going to do about it? There's almost no time that there's nothing to do. There's always something that you can do. Even if it's, hey, we're not, this other company won this deal. Okay, get the team together, do a postmortem. What did we do wrong along the way? There's going to be something you figured out, make sure it doesn't happen again, right? And maybe you wait to post until you figured that out. But if you're a seed Series A company, you should be figuring that out pretty darn quick. You're not going to sit around and wait. So especially if you're a monthly sending out monthly updates, like you're probably going to get in there unless it happened the day before.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, I think, that, as you've gotten more comfortable and, or maybe not more comfortable, but just over time, as you've practiced this, like, yeah, we're going to report on this, we're going to be transparent about what went wrong, We're also going to include what we're going to do about it, what we learned from that, how we're going to change course, like whatever needs to be done. We're going to address all of that openly with everybody who needs to know. It's interesting that that has sort of flattened, like you said, those highs and lows. I wonder if that's, if that's something that is part of your personal experience and just getting more comfortable with, like, yeah, there are highs and lows, and we're going to just keep moving past them, and we're not going to see any one of them as like the make or break moment. Or I wonder if part of it is that you've, through that process, like developed some trust with your board members and investors. So, reporting on those things that didn't go well doesn't feel like, oh, they're just gonna think I'm like the worst CEO in the world. Like you've built that track record, so it doesn't feel like their response is going to be insurmountable either. Or is it some kind of combination of the two?
I've actually never thought about it that way. So that's him. That's something I have to take away. That's some good insight. Good journalism.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that totally could be it. It could have almost nothing to do with posting, but I think it has something to do with posting. But yeah, I bet you're right. I bet some of that is the trust you build that you feel between you and your board and investors and advisors and leadership. And as you said, like time, through time and just, being in this world. But no, let me take that. I'm definitely gonna dwell on that.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. One of the things that we always say as like an important reason to be sending updates, and that's something that we list under our best practices, like you should be sending updates. It's part of what Surfboard was designed to do, obviously, was to share those updates between board meetings. And we always say, like, the benefit of that is that you, A, get help, as you already mentioned, faster, or you get more applicable help, more relevant help. But also, there is this very real trend of like that consistent communication and the extent to which your board and investors feel confidence and trust in you and what you're doing. Have you seen that? Like, has your relationship with your board and investors gotten to that place where it's like, yeah, I really feel like I trust them and they trust me. Have you personally experienced that?
So with the board, I guess it, yes, but no. I mean, we're checking in so much, right? But with the investors, 100%, 100%. Yeah, I think it's always one of the comments I get, if I haven't seen an investor in a few months and run into each other, just, hey, really appreciate the updates. Just really appreciate it. It's just not much more needs to be said. Just, you can tell that they're just like, I just really appreciate, keeping me in the loop. I think one of the places, and we haven't really encountered this ourselves, but one of the places it could be valuable we've heard of is if you get yourself in a bind. Right, where especially runways drying up, maybe made a couple decisions that didn't play out the way you wanted them to, or had to make a pivot. And if you've been communicating and super open about it, I think you'll see investors a lot more open to having the discussion. Not saying that, they're gonna jump back in on the next round, but much more open to having discussion, make introductions versus, if you call them, 2 weeks before you're running out of your last payroll, kind of scrambling, and all this stuff's gone wrong. I think those updates and being candid in them and honest is gonna, you've got a better chance of weathering that storm, if everyone's on the same page as you sail into the big wave. I'm picturing the perfect storm. Just like, if we're all on board, we're all like, yep, that's the way we're going to go. Then, hopefully if somebody really was against everything going on, they were an investor, they would have reached out, months ago, if you're being candid and open and tried to help you right the ship earlier. But, if everyone kind of went down that path and was bought in, then, you kind of all own it and do your best to get back on track.
I think that's a great point. As I mentioned earlier, there's this tendency for founders and CEOs to feel like, it's my responsibility, and it is, but by bringing everybody into this decision-making process with you and being really transparent about here's where we are, here's everything we're doing, here's what we tried, here's what failed, here's what we're going to try next, you're really kind of spreading out that accountability and saying if everybody is buying into this and everybody is saying yep, we're okay with this path forward, if something does go awry, it's not just on you. There is that sort of sense of group accountability that if any of us had seen this coming, somebody would have suggested that we change course. And so we are where we are because of the group.
Yeah. And I think it reinforces the importance of the board, right? You've got to have a board that is, they're fiduciaries, first and foremost, and are want to take ownership of the oversight of the business, so that when you have all those investors and advisors rallying around you and you are making the honest updates, they also have that comfort of a board that is, putting the company in the best position to be successful, from the other, more governance side of things. And when all that comes together, and if it doesn't work out, I never want to be in that position, but I have to imagine everyone looks at each other and they say, hey, we sure took a run at that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did what we could. We did what we could.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Just sometimes it's just the cookie crumbles.
Fingers crossed you are never in that position, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think you have all those things, that honesty, candidness, strong board, and everyone's kind of, I think there's not a ton to be said that's negative.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as everyone was there. That's what I think. I don't know. I haven't been there, and I don't plan to be there. Yeah. I have to imagine that it all goes back to weekly posts.
Yeah. Hopefully this just remains a thought exercise. We'll never find out firsthand. Yeah, totally. I do want to get into this. I think it's amazing that you are sending, weekly, monthly, and quarterly updates. We hear from people all the time that say, I just don't have time. Sure, it would be great to send investor updates, but I'm busy. It's not my priority. When am I going to find the time? And we get it. There's a huge amount of work that goes into starting a company, a monumental amount of work. But as somebody who has found the time and been really consistent with that, I guess my question for you is, how do you find the time?
I think that there's lots of different types of CEOs, and that's great. More technical, more sales focused, folks who just have an unbelievably deep understanding of the market. But I think no matter what, a CEO, one of your biggest jobs is relationships. And all these people that are around this company, those are relationships that are important to the success of your business. And you need to make time to work on them, right? It's just as important as closing deals, and as important as building scalable solutions, and just as important as, your HR program, right? All these things need to be figured out. But that's a relationship thing, and that has to come from the CEO, in my opinion. And so, you know, set yourself a cadence. Maybe you don't start it weekly. You start something a little bit longer if you're really daunted. You know, it's a really daunting task. If you got a couple bad weeks, like, still just post. Like, don't say, hey, you know, this is just going bad. I'm just going to hang this up and then wait till it's good again. And then I'm going to send out like a big post and everyone's going to cheer. Like, that completely is against the purpose of doing this. And yeah, once you build that cadence and you give yourself space to, all the posts aren't always going to be the best posts in the world and the most comprehensive posts in the world. You're just, sometimes you're just, like I said, just getting a couple of paragraphs of your thoughts on the week and kind of just, hey, you know, we're going to get you something deeper next week. Then it's just, you know, you're just going to post every week. It just becomes like second nature. Like, oh, you know, it's Sunday evening. I got to get that post out, you know, or it's, oh, you know, I started this one on Friday because I was so stoked on like this one deal. I can't wait to send this one out on Sunday type thing. And you'll have a few of both, and I'm sure in between, everything in between. But yeah, I guess it's very much a part of the relationship building, and that is important. And find your cadence. And, you know, if you can get that cadence to weekly and you're doing it all the time, it just becomes second nature. And give yourself space to be a little bit more flexible in your posts. They don't have to be these rigid, the exact same structure every single time. And take all that with the caveat that I live in the B2B big enterprise deal world. It might be a little different if you're like B2C. I imagine those posts are very metric heavy. It's a little different for us.
I think it's great advice though to, you know, sort of free yourself from this expectation that they have to be a consistent format or they all have to be comprehensive. And I think part of the feeling that, you know, I don't have time is like, it's daunting, right? If you sit down and you say, I need to give an update on the status of the entire company, and I'm going to have to track down maybe some data points, and I need to format it, and I need it to sound good, so I'm going to agonize over how I write every sentence. Like, that's the approach that feels like, and probably doesn't just feel, but literally takes actually a ton of time. Versus like, okay, maybe you do a couple of those. Maybe that is your quarterly update. Mm-hmm. And you know, give yourself that time to do that much more robust update. But a weekly update can be a little bit more stream of consciousness, and it doesn't have to be this like really perfect, comprehensive thing every single week. Cause yeah, like that's a ton of work.
Hit the nail on the head. I have nothing to add. That's perfect summary.
Yeah. And I hope that other founders will kind of take that, hearing you have a lot of success with that, as license to try it for themselves, because I think a lot of people just feel like, well, it's the same feeling of when you go into that board room, whether you're in person or virtual, and you're like, oh yeah, I have to act a certain way now. And I think board updates fall into that same pattern where it's like, oh, it's really serious and it's really important, and so I have to do it this way. Instead of giving yourself that license and that freedom to just say like, no, it's better that I communicate anything at all than try to cram it into this very specific format that feels just like, I don't want to do that every week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Yeah.
All right. I hope they do too. Well, thank you for sharing all of your wisdom with us and giving us an hour of your day to just pick your brain. We really appreciate it. And we're so glad that you joined us for our third episode.
Yeah, no, happy to, Sarah. And I've been on Surfboard. I gotta be one of the first users, but like, absolutely love the tool. Honestly, can't say enough good things. And our investors, our board members, advisors, leadership, like, they love it. It's just like, it's a great way to communicate. That's how we use it most. There's some great board tools as well, of course, but I just like I'm really stoked, and so I'm really happy to be here and chatting with y'all. So
Well, we love to hear that. That's the kind of feedback we always want to get. So yeah, we're thrilled that you have been able to like you're like our poster child of sending those routine updates. So yeah, really glad that you're using it, finding value out of it, and your board and investors are also. That's all we could possibly ask for.
absolutely.
All right, well, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, cheers.